Listen, I am a lover of America. I'm a lover of our freedoms. I love the nations. We see the flags around, and the team is in Nepal right now spreading the gospel. But they're still just man-made kingdoms. Yes, God had a hand in establishing, I believe, in establishing our country. But just because he had a hand in establishing it doesn't mean that we don't have to do something about it. But the only thing that's going to do anything is Jesus. Kings and kingdoms can crumble, can pass away, but there's something that remains. Something stable, something real, something lasting, something that is a rock and a tower, and it's the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, in my name, you'll cast out devils. Get rid of those things harassing your house. Get rid of those things trying to creep up and cause strife. There's an enemy, friend. There's an enemy. But the name is above every name. Take your place. He has given you his name. He has given you his name. Not just, here, use this. When my husband and I were married a little over 35 years ago, he gave me his name. I wasn't born with the name Durant, but I got it. He gave me his name. I became Annie Durant because he gave me that name. Not just, here, sign it on a check. Use this if you need it. No, that's who I am. He has given you his name. That's who you are. We are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And members of the body of Christ ought to be whole and healthy. Amen. Glory to God, because we're members of his body. He paid for us, bought us with his own blood. Glory to God. Let's say his name again tonight. Jesus. Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to switch to this other mic. Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God wants to minister. You can keep on playing, Brother David. As long as you're here, you're not leaving this place right now. I like the place we're in right now. How about you? Let's stay there. This is saturation night. Let's stay in this place. Amen. We may shift gears a little bit, but we're staying in this place. We're not moving. Amen. You ever had a conversation, you know, around the dining room table, having a good conversation, and somebody says, let's move to the living room. And you're like, no. Everything changes. Let's stay at the table tonight. Let's just stay at the table tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's got some good things for us. Praise the Lord. Let's don't get up and change our position. Let's just stay there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Beth, I'll need you again. You got a seat? You're good? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you just briefly because we're going to minister in the name of Jesus. In that name that we've come to gather in tonight, we want to minister by the laying on of hands. And it's so important, the laying on of hands. And we find in the ministry, or in the Gospels and in the epistles, I'm good, thank you, brother, you're a blessing. I'm usually too quick for people. I don't ever know when I'm going to come down those stairs. I may go back up again. You're released from your duties, sir. You're released. Everybody's all right. We're good. I did almost trip this morning, and I was glad somebody was there, but we're good. Praise the Lord. But now we're in the name of Jesus tonight. We've come in his name. So we're in him. Let's stay in that place. Amen. But now in the scriptures, we find many ways. I alluded to a few things this morning. We find many ways that God has to transmit his healing power to get it to us. He's not trying to hold it from us. Amen. And so many times we, even in Word of Faith circles, I'll say Word of Faith circles, Word of Faith churches, because this is a faith church. This is a presence of God church. Amen. We know the message of faith, which basically means we know we can come to him directly anytime, every time we have need and know what his word says and appropriate it. Amen. But at the same time, when we educate ourselves along these lines sometimes, we end up sometimes, taking responsibility or taking pressure that doesn't belong to us. Because with knowledge comes responsibility, but then that responsibility the enemy will use as pressure. He will use it against you. And so we were kind of coming along some of those things this morning as some of the hindrances, in a sense, is our thoughts and our mindset of how we approach some things. Is like, I know God's able, I know he's willing, but certainly there must be something I've done. Or there must be something I haven't done because I have responsibilities. But because God has so many ways of getting healing power to us, can you open your heart tonight? Can you open your mind tonight? Amen. And can we get out of the way? Just get out of the way. I was facing some health challenges myself a few years ago, and was talking with a dear friend of ours who ministers healing and really is just a, I would say, is an expert. He's what Brother Hagin called a divine healing technician. Like that. He's had much experience in helping people just connect with God. And now I've known some things for a long time, but I was coming up against some things myself. And he finally, we were in their kitchen. Kevin and I were in their kitchen. And we were just talking around the counter, sitting on the counter for a while and getting off the counter. And, you know, one of those things where you didn't want to move to the other room. Because this is where God's talking right now. And he finally said to me, you think you might be in your own way? Overthinking, you know, overthinking things and overcomplicating things. And he said, do you think you might be in your own way? Do you think you might? And I said to him, I don't think so. But I didn't stop there. I said, I am certain of it. No, I don't think so. I know I am. I know I'm my own problem. How do I fix it? Get out of the way. Wait, what? Get out of the way. Quit trying to control it all. Because we know our faith can grab things and grasp things and receive things. And so sometimes we decide, this is the way I'm going to do it. And we've just put ourselves in control. My mother a few years ago was in the hospital, and she had, amazingly, she had cancer for a day. Apparently she'd had it for a little while longer, but we didn't find out about it, and they took it out, and then it was gone, so she only had it for a day as far as we were concerned. And she had a tumor in her colon. They found out about it, were able to surgically remove it the very next day, and they got it all. She didn't have to have any other treatments or anything. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. So my sister and I came to Alabama and to help her out. She was living in Alabama at the time. And So we came here and we were helping her out, and I was at the hospital with her, and I had to leave. I had to, you know, go back and, you know, get on with my life. And she was going to be released from the hospital in the next couple of days, and somebody from her church was going to kind of take over and help out. And I found myself, you know, walking in the halls to try to, you know, not to let my mom see, but I was crying in the hallway. And the social worker came up and kind of was like patting me on the back. Are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm good. I said, I have to leave, you know. And she says, your mom's going to be okay. I said, oh, I know that. I said, what I'm finding out I'm crying about is I can't control everything from here on out. I've been making arrangements. I've been doing this. Well, somebody else is going to have to do that. And I found myself realizing that what I was crying about was, I'm not going to get to control this anymore. Revelation. And so it's no wonder that I got in my own way where I was concerned. Because there are times we just want to take over. And so there are times when we stand on the word of God for ourselves, like the Roman centurion, just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. But the centurion said that to Jesus because he said, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house because, and I'll tell you why, here's the reason you don't need to come to my house. I'm a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. I'm a military man, in other words, right? He's a Roman centurion, military man. He says, I live in the military. I live by orders. I live by orders, right? Everything is, if a superior gives me an order, he considers it done. If I give an order, I consider it done. Isn't that the way it works? Right? So he says, I'm a military man. I understand this. I live by orders. I don't need you to come to my house. Just give the order. He lived by that. See, what happens with us sometimes is we don't live that way. When it comes to our healing, we're going to stand. But we haven't been living by our words before. And so I'll be honest with you, I've seen folks say, I'm going to stand, and they end up standing a very, very long time. Because they're going to have to learn to live by orders in the middle of this ordeal. But thankfully, that's not the only way to receive. It's a wonderful way. Amen? And really, because Jesus marveled and said, I haven't found faith like this in all my own people. It's because he said, I haven't found anybody who believes me that well. So in other words, that's kind of rare. That's right. We can all aspire to it. Amen. And it's one of the best ways because you don't have to have any other human helping you. Amen. You can be all alone. It's you and Jesus. Glory to God. So that's awesome. But that doesn't mean that God's holding you up to that standard every time. And if you don't get it that way, you are some less of a Christian. There are other ways to receive. Bible says, is any sick among you? He's talking to the church. So if he's saying, is there any sick among you? There must be some sick in the church. It's not a surprise to God. Amen? It's not a secret. Somebody gets sick and all of a sudden we all get hush, hush. We don't talk about that here. We don't talk about people getting sick. This is church. But he said, is any sick among you? Let him call. Let who call? Let the sick one call. Let him call for the elders of the church. When you're calling for help, it is not an admittance of weakness. It is a declaration of faith. It means you believe that the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. When you call, you're saying, I believe this, Pastor. I believe this. Pray for me. Help me. God said, that's faith. That's a provision. Amen? Don't be ashamed of getting help. Glory to God. We can pray for one another, the Bible says. Aren't you glad we can? Hallelujah. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But all these ways are just different ways of God getting his blessing to us. One of the ways he does it is also then by the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. How amazing that God would use people to transmit his power. In Mark's gospel, the 5th chapter, a man named Jairus came to Jesus. You don't need to turn there, but a man named Jairus came to Jesus. And he said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. At the point of death. He said, but if you'll come and lay your hands on her, she will be healed and she will live. Jairus said, can you come, Jesus, and put your hands on her? Can you touch my little girl? She's at the point of death. I just need you to touch her. Luke's gospel tells us that people came from all over. Multitudes came to Jesus. Luke's gospel says it. Mark's gospel says it. Matthew's gospel says it. That multitudes came around just to touch him. Because, Luke says it this way, power went out from him and healed them all. They wanted to touch him for a reason. Why? Because power went out of him. Not a mention of prayer, just a mention of contact and power flowing. Prayer is one way. And a lot of times when we minister by the laying on of hands, most of the time we don't pray. Prayer is a good way, but it's not the way he uses me primarily. But we will transmit God's healing power to you. Why? Because power is transmitted through the hands. Jesus said, believers will lay hands on the sick. No mention of prayer in that scripture either. They'll just lay hands on the sick in the name. Why? Because it's him doing it. And he uses people. So that you can be touched by him. How else can we be touched by the one we can't see? But it is absolutely supernatural that his power goes through people and into us. Jairus said, can you just come and put your hands on her? If you could just get your hands on her, something's going to happen. She'll be healed and she'll live. So Jesus was on his way to go there and minister to her. And I think how interesting it was that here she is at the point of death. This is a time-sensitive situation. And yet he didn't run. He didn't hurry. He didn't panic. He said, I'll go. And they went. Of course, he couldn't go anywhere fast. Everybody around him all the time, all those people around him, he couldn't get anywhere fast. And he wasn't pushing him aside going, I got to get somewhere. Give me space. While he's on his way to Jairus' house, all of a sudden that power that resided in him, because he said in Luke's gospel, the 4th chapter, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. Jesus said, the Spirit of God is on me because he has anointed me. That word anoint, we only use in church. We don't use it very much outside of church, you know, so it sounds like a spiritual word. But it just means to rub on, to paint, or to smear. Anoint sounds prettier. So Jesus said, the Spirit of God is on me because he has put himself on me. was wearing him. And so no wonder when people touched him then, that power went out of him. Because it's perceptible to the touch God on him. So while he's on his way to Jairus' house, all of a sudden, he senses some of that power leave him. And he knows it's not just leaking. It doesn't just flow out arbitrarily. Somebody drew it. Somebody took it. Someone received what was on him because they knew what was on him. Suddenly power went out from him and he said, he's thinking to himself, somebody just got healed. I can imagine him in that crowd of people. They're all on their way to Jairus' house because they know Jairus and his little daughter, and someone got healed and Jesus stopped. Jairus' daughter's at the point of death. Jesus stopped. Wait a minute. Somebody just got healed. Who touched my clothes? Who just received that power? Who received that power? The Bible says a woman came. She fell at his feet. She told him this story. She said, I've had this issue of blood for 12 years. Spent all my money. I just kept getting worse. I never got better. I saw every doctor I could. I took every treatment I could. I just couldn't get any better. But I heard about you. I heard that power went out of you. And the people were touching you and getting healed. So while I was at home, I just said, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be whole. So I came, and I just did everything I could to get as close to you as I could. Even if I could just barely touch your clothes, I knew I'd get what was on you. Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. But how simple was her faith? She just said, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Now think about this for just a moment. We're saturating in his presence tonight, amen? Think about this for a moment. If he didn't know who touched him, he didn't know who got healed, it wasn't his decision who got healed. If it wasn't his decision, whose decision was it? It was her decision. She decided to be healed. Because she said, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Not just if I can touch his clothes, I'll see what happens. But if I can touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She made that decision before she touched. I'll be healed. As long as I can touch, I'll be healed. As soon as she touched, the Bible says she felt that she was healed. Internal issue, she knew she was healed because she believed it first. She believed it first. She didn't wait to feel to believe. She believed first. And then she touched to receive the power. Amen? Well, while she's telling Jesus all this, and you know the Bible says she told him all the truth, and you know women, we can tell all the truth. It probably took a little longer than the way Mark describes it. Mark gives us the man version. Spent everything, kept getting worse, touched him, said she'd be healed, that's it. But you know her story was longer. Because while she's telling the story, people from Jairus' house came. You can only imagine. daughter at the point of death. Can imagine him thinking, Jesus, can you stop talking to this lady, please? We've got to get there. We've got to get there now. There's no time to waste. So people came from Jairus' house, and while Jesus is talking to the woman, or while she's talking to him, and they said, I'm sorry. It's too late. She's gone. Jesus overheard what they said and heard them say, she's gone, it's over, it's done, it's too late. And he turned to Jairus and he said something very powerful. Do not fear, only believe. In other words, believe only. What do you get to do? Believe. Fear is a choice. He said, do not fear. That means you can stop fearing. Too many times I think we think that fear is just an emotion that comes and we just have to have it. No, we don't. Jesus said over and over again, do not fear. Instead, believe. Believe what? Believe what you said a few moments ago, that if I can get my hands on her, she'll be healed and she'll live. I'm not there yet. We're still going. We're still going. So what's Jesus' answer to? It's too late. Only believe. Because remember, the things that we see in this realm, temporary. There is an unseen realm that is more real and eternal. Hallelujah. Only believe. And so they went, and she was raised up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hands. Touch. Touch. Can you believe that God would transmit his power through touch tonight? He said he would. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so any believer can lay hands on the sick if they're believers. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is in the name of Jesus for us to lay our hands on another person and God transmit his power. Glory to God. So any believer is authorized, but at the same time, then God also calls and appoints and anoints people with a special ministry to the sick. And that's what he's done with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're going to minister to you tonight with a special anointing, perceptible to the touch. I can tell when it is in my hands. I can tell when it leaves my hands and goes into you. Praise the Lord. Very often it's perceptible, the receptivity of it. Very often you can feel it as well. Praise the Lord. Don't have to, but you can. I love to be touched by Jesus. Hallelujah. We're being touched by him right now, aren't we? He's been in this service from the very beginning, from the time prayer started. And we made room for him in this place tonight, in this saturation time, so we didn't have to get in a hurry. Isn't it sweet? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I served Brother Hagin's ministry for many years, and he had a tangible healing anointing that Jesus himself gave to him in a vision. He was taken up in a vision, and Lord Jesus appeared to him and put the finger of his right hand in the palm of each one of Brother Hagin's hands. And he was the first person I was personally acquainted with who ministered with that special, tangible anointing. And I always wondered about it. I was fascinated by it. I'd watch him lay hands on the sick, and I'd see people recover. And I wondered about that anointing. And we worked with him many times, as a matter of fact, but the first time I remember, he said, the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate that he doesn't just use men, he uses women, he wants to demonstrate he doesn't just use me, he uses other people, and obviously he does, amen. Praise the Lord. But he said, Annie, come down here, and I was leading some singing up at the platform, and so I came down to the front, and he said, put your hands out like that, and I did. Brother Hagin put his hands on my hands. And he looked at me and he said, "Can you feel that?" And I went, I did. I felt it. I didn't know I would feel it. I believed what he said. I'm just doing whatever God said to do, but I felt that heat go into my hands. He said, "Can you feel that?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Now you go lay hands on the sick." I did. Well, those people didn't know it was my first time. And I began to lay hands on people, and I sensed that anointing go out of my hands and into them. God was touching people through me, the most thrilling and the most humbling experience all at the same time. It's all him. People getting healed. Praise God. And so I became acquainted with that. And Brother Hagin laid his hands on me so many times I couldn't count them anymore. And after a while, he stopped laying hands on me and he would just say, "Is that anointing on you?" And I'd say, "Yes, it is." Because every time he talked about it, it went in my hands. By association of serving in that ministry and because of the call of God on my life. And so I became acquainted with it and then used to ministering with that anointing. And we did that for many years. And then one evening, Kevin and I were in a hotel room with three other ministers. We got together to pray before a service. And while we were praying like they did in Acts chapter 4. "Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus." We were just praying along those lines. "Lord, raise up people with a healing ministry. Raise up those people, Father." We pray for gifts of the and manifestations of the Holy Ghost, gifts of healings and working of miracles and special faith. In particular, we were praying about those gifts. And while we were praying, I had an experience very similar to Brother Hagin's. I started to go up, see myself there in the hotel room. And I don't know what you'd do, but I'm just telling you my testimony. But that wasn't something that happened to me every day. And when I started to go up, I actually was kind of frightened, like, am I done here? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I didn't know how long are we going to do this? And so all that in a moment, you know, your brain kicks in. And so I kind of came back to myself because I thought, I don't know that I want to go now. I'm just being honest with you. So when I came back to myself, I realized that God was endeavoring to do something. And power of God hit me like never before. I was accustomed, like I said, to that healing anointing and that heat in my hands. But this night was different. All of a sudden, that power went into me, and not just like a heat, it was more like electricity. Like I was holding on to live wire. Some of you may have accidentally done that very thing. And it's more like the wire's got you than you've got it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can't let go. It had me. That power. And it went into, from my fingers all the way up to my shoulders. And it felt like that lightsaber. Pastor Rhonda and I were talking about it a little bit today in a different way. But it felt like one of those lightsabers in Star Wars, you know? Like if I just moved my arm, it would go. So real to me. Felt it in my body. Grabbed my husband's hand. I said, "Tell me you can feel this. This is so tangible." And he said, "I'm sorry, I don't feel what you're feeling right now." I grabbed another minister's hand. I said, "Please tell me you can feel this." And he said, I don't feel what you're feeling right now." But while I held their hands, the Lord said to me, "Up until this point, you have ministered with an anointing you got by association." He said, "But this anointing is yours." Praise God. He said, "I endeavored for you to come up to receive it, but you wouldn't come." He's so sweet, though. He said, it would have been easier for you if you had come. But as it was, you received it in your flesh, and that's why it felt as strong as it did in your flesh. But he said, "I've given you an anointing to minister to the sick. It's not for my benefit. It's for you. Because he wants to touch you. He wants you whole. He wants you healed." And it's just one of the ways he ministers. It's not the only way. It's not a best way or a lesser way. It's just a way. But we want to minister to you tonight. If you came for hands to be laid on you for healing, hallelujah. The presence of God is so rich in here tonight. Praise the Lord. And he's so faithful. Hallelujah. You don't have to have hands laid on you. You can, and many of you are probably already receiving right there where you are, just because Jesus is Jesus. We're glorifying him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you still okay saturating in his presence tonight? Hallelujah.